Two Money Monologues Roundtable, edition of February 29th, 2008. This podcast is presented by Pedro Miguel Alves. Be welcome to this podcast. Today, I am presenting you a paper published in the journal Immunity describing that one single naive T-cell precursor is able to generate memory responses which are fully functional and equivalent to the ones generated by a competent and complete T-cell precursor antigen-specific population. The paper was submitted by Stemberger and collaborators from the Institute for Medical Microbiology, Immunology and Hygiene, Technical University of Munich in Germany. The paper is called "A Single Naive CD8 T-cells Precursors Can Develop into Diverse Effector and Memory Subset." This paper is found in Volume 27, page 987 of December 2007. After the recognition by a naive T-cell of an antigen, the T-cell undergoes a wide number of cell divisions and it becomes an effector T-cell. Some of these effector T-cells will later become memory T-cells that will prevail in the organism for a while. The effector cells end up by disappear after antigen clearance. The memory cells will help the organism to mount faster and more efficient responses upon antigen recall. The reasons that justify this T-cell fate are still unknown and controversial. In fact, several hypotheses have been experimentally evaluated and models proposed in the past. One model was proposed by Sallusto in 2004, where a progressive differentiation process would justify the memory T-cell generation. The process of differentiation from naive to memory would depend on signal potency provided by the affinity of the T-cell to a peptide MHC complex, on the concentration of cognate antigen, on conditions of co-stimulation in the primate environment, and on the differentiation state of the T-cell. An alternative model was proposed by the group of Rafid Ahmed in 2000, where the differentiation capacity to effector and memory T-cells are predefined in the T-cell repertoire that answers to the antigen. Further studies also suggested that the functional and phenotypic qualities of the precursors and the environment help to differentiate the memory T-cells. How can we differentiate memory T-cells in the blood? Memory T-cells can be subdivided in at least two main groups, the effector memory T-cells and the central memory T-cells. The effector memory T-cells are identified in the mouse by the expression of CD127 and the low expression of CD62 ligand. In humans, the same population can be defined by the low expression of CD45RA and low expression of CCR7. On the other hand, the central memory T-cells express CD127 and CD62 ligand, and in humans, they express CCR7 and low CD45RA. The T effector memory are characterized by fast effector function and by weak proliferation capacity. The T central memory, instead, proliferate vigorously upon antigen encounter and have strong functional capacity and are usually found in peripheral lymphoid organs. The T effector memory can be subdivided further with CD28 and CD27 defining state of intermediate and terminal differentiation, which are characterized by the presence of all mechanisms to produce a lytic action, such as interferon gamma, granzyme B, and perforin in their cytoplasm in considerable amounts. Previous studies have shown that T effector memory and T central memory have distinct TCR repertoires different from the ones found in the naive T-cells populations. Some other results have also shown that the same T-cell repertoire was found in naive and memory T-cells. The conclusions are therefore unclear about the process of differentiation. Another recent fact that complicates the situation even further is that lymphocyte cell division appears to be asymmetrical upon naive T-cell triggering. This fact can result in T-cells functionally different, suggesting that the functional differentiation might be something self to each lymphocyte and less from the other factors. To clarify this state of functional differentiation of naive T-cells, the authors propose in this paper to develop an adoptive T-cell system where a single naive T-cell would be transferred to an host animal and monitored for their development in effector or memory T-cells. Technically, this paper is very interesting, as the authors develop a strategy of transfer that allows that one single cell is introduced in the host mouse. To validate this method, the authors present a series of trial experiments where CD45.1 positive T-cells are transferred to CD45.1 negative C57 BLK6 mouse. This distinction between CD45.1 positive and negative populations allowed the tracking of donor and host cells. 10,000, 1,000, 100 or 10 OT1 T cells specific of the OVA antigen were transferred intravenously to the host mouse. After transfer, the mice were immediately infected also intravenously with the bacteria expressing OVA, in this case an engineered Listeria monocytogenes bacteria. 7 days after bacterial infection, the authors evaluated the presence and the expansion of CD45.1 positive T-cells in the host mice. As is shown in figure supplementary number 1a, the transfer of 10 T-cells intravenously allowed the detection of 0.1% of CD45.1 cells from the total number of CD8 T-cells of the host that are CD45.1 negative. The same experiment was done with intraperitoneal transfer with results values that are slightly lower than the intravenous transfer, around 0.06%. In light of these results, the author sought to try the transfer of one single OT1 naive T-cell. The technique used to achieve this single cell transfer is depicted in supplementary figure 1b. Briefly, viable cells, PI negative, CD3 positive, CD8 positive, CD44 low, naive, were isolated by flow cytometry sorting and diluted to 20 cells per drop in the slide. Through micropipetting techniques, one single cell was isolated and transferred to the peritoneal cavity of the host mouse. After transfer, the mouse was immediately infected with Listeria monocytogenes and expressing OVA. The results of such transfer are shown in figure 1a and in figure supplementary number 2. This data show that after 7 or and 12 days, it is possible to detect cells resulting from a single T-cell expansion. As can be appreciated from the figures, the frequencies of CD45.1 effector cells, CD62 ligand negative, CD127 negative, effector memory T cells, CD62 ligand negative, CD127 positive, and central memory T cells, CD62 ligand positive, CD127 positive, are equivalent between animals transferred with 1 or 100 CD45.1 OT1 T cells. The values are also equivalent to the ones found in the host T cells populations, CD45.1 negative, that reacted to the bacteria expressing OVA. Indeed, the analysis is done with tetramers specific of the peptide Syncfectal derived from OVA antigen recognized by H2KD. Also note that the results are representative of 25% of the mice where the transfer was successful, showing the technical challenge of the work. Overall, the observation that equivalent frequencies of effector and memory T cells can be found between CD45.1 positive and CD45.1 negative T cells demonstrate that a single precursor naive T cell is able to offer full differentiation. In addition, not only the frequencies are equivalent, but also the functional capacities are diverse as depicted in figure 2. CD45.1 transferred cells expand, and those expanded cells produce interferon gamma, IL-2, and TNF after activation of splenocytes with a zinc factor peptide. The authors observed that expanded CD45.1 positive cells are able to degranulate, expressing CD107A. In other words, release in the extracellular space the content of cell cytotoxic granules, and is a marker of cytotoxic activity. To show more precisely the presence of memory T cells derived from the expansion of a single naive T cell, the transfer animals were rechallenged with the same bacteria, and 5 weeks later the lymphocytes population reanalyzed. In figure 3a, we can observe that antigen recall results in expansion of about 8-fold in T cell frequencies among CD45.1 positive T cells, and similarly as in the OCD45.1 negative population against the zinc factor peptide. Therefore, the unique naive precursor can give rise to secondary and, in regard to T cell differentiation, heterogeneous populations. The authors also test if the expanded memory population can be found even without antigen recall. So after transfer and bacterial infection, and after 5 weeks of follow-up, expanded populations were evaluated. In figure 4 are shown the resulting data from more than 70 million cells from the spleen, lymph nodes, and lungs, figure 4a, 4b, and 4c, respectively. From these figures, we observe that memory subpopulations defined by the expression of CD62 ligand and CD127 can be found in the tissue locations, although we can depict a predominance of memory effector T cells in the lung. In lymph nodes and spleens, we can observe both memory effector and central T cell populations, CD45.1 positive, that present similar relative frequencies distributions to endogenous CD45.1 negative T cells detected by a tetrameter zinc factor. Moreover, these CD45.1 positive are able to produce cytokines upon restimulation, figure 4a and 4d. We can claim that the expansion of and the permanence of memory T cells from these long periods of time, 5 weeks after infection, is due to the presence of small quantities of antigen in the host, probably due to the lack of antigen clearance that would trigger the maintenance of the memory population. The authors redo the previous experiment, but now, 12 days after the infection, 2/3 of the lymphocytes are transferred to a new naive host. These host lymphocytes were analyzed 5 weeks later. The supplementary figure 4 explains the experimental design. As shown in figure 5, memory T cells are found after 5 weeks in the new naive mice, clearly demonstrating that one single naive T cell precursor can indeed lead to the development of memory T cell populations. Next, the authors test the memory T cell development from a single T cell precursor with a different antigenic priming stimulation. The authors used to prime the naive OT1 T cells a vaccination method where of albumin protein was injected into the host mice with CpG TLR9 ligand. We observe in figure 6 the generation of memory and effector cells within the CD45.1 positive population. However, when we compare the results obtained with ovalbumin CpG vaccination with the results from bacteria over infection, we observe a smaller number of cells expressing CD127, an accumulation of CD62 ligand low and CD127 low expressing T cells. In other words, effector T cells. We also observe that the number of cells expressing CD107 is superior. Note the difference to figure 2e. We also observe a higher frequency of central memory T cells in lymph nodes in comparison to bacterial infection. In figure 6e is shown a summary of the induced T cell responses found within the CD45.1 positive and endogenous CD45.1 negative populations. We can conclude that ovalbumin CpG vaccination is less efficient than bacterial infection in induction of effector and central memory T cells, but more efficient in inducing effector T cells that are CD62 ligand low, CD127 low. Again, we found similarities in the frequencies between CD45.1 positive and host CD45.1 negative populations, therefore showing the efficacy of differentiation from a single naive T cell precursor. Finally, the authors tested if the late introduction of naive T cell precursors in the antigen infectious context would promote the induction of central memory T cells as described by previous experimental studies. The naive OT1 T cells precursor was in this case transferred 48 hours after the bacteria inoculation, and the resulting population is evaluated 12 days after in the spleen. From the analysis of figure 7, we cannot depict differences between the frequencies of T cells derived from CD45.1 T cells and endogenous CD45.1 negative T cells from the host. And moreover, the frequencies are similar when the naive T cell precursor is transferred followed by immediate infection. Therefore, in this system of latecomer, as the authors define, we do not visualize the preferential expansion of central memory T cells, fact that was documented by other reports in similar late-engaged naive T cells. In conclusion, in this report, we observe that one single naive OT1 T cell can react to the OVA antigen stimulation and generate detectable memory responses that are diversified regarding functional capacity and T cell subset diversity. Importantly, this expanded population derived from a single precursor is equivalent qualitatively to memory responses derived from a larger precursor numbers as the ones formed by the host animal. We also observe that the development of memory responses is not dependent of the number of naive T cell precursors, neither on the moment when the encounter with the antigen occur. This report antagonizes the concepts suggested by previous studies about the origin of memory T cells from the naive precursor population, where the number, the clonotype, and the moment of antigen encounter and these intrinsic characteristics of naive T cells define the kind of memory responses developed. The technological breakthrough developed in this report will allow to further expand our knowledge in the development of memory responses and their differentiation. In fact, some questions remain open. The current study focused CD8 responses, therefore it would be interesting to evaluate CD4 responses with the same questions. Also, which are the minimal conditions for the induction of memory responses? Does different naive T cells develop similar memory responses? The authors do not definitively answer to this point, and therefore it would be interesting to qualify the kind and the efficacy of the resulted T cells when, for instance, the TCR clonotype is low affinity versus one of high affinity to a particular antigen. In addition, in the current study, the antigen delivery was provided in delivery system prone to wide body antigen encounter. What to happen when the antigen to which a precursor naive T cell are specific or is specific is localized in a particular organ, such as the case of cancer antigens. Finally, which are the other components of the immune system required for the development and how these cells and an environment tune the memory responses that are developed and differentiated. And like that, we finish this podcast, this edition. Please leave your comments, your suggestions by electronic mail to the following address, alvespms@hotmail.com. That's all for now. See you soon.